And I'm grateful for the music, aren't you? Thank you so much for that. It's fun. And I especially love Christmas music. I just do. I'm the guy that starts listening to Christmas music all over the world, and probably should. If James Massey were here, he would testify on my behalf. But I just love it. There's something about the Christmas season that is just different than any other holiday, because it kind of stirs up this nostalgia feeling. I mean, is it just me? I mean, it kind of reawakens all these memories of past Christmases, and you think about all those things, and I don't know. There's just something about it. You remember the Christmas when you were 10 years old, and when you start doing the math. And you're like, oh, no. I have a 10-year-old. I have a 10-year-old. It's sinking in. Alethea's birthday was on Monday. Some of you heard this before. Some of you know this about us and our family. But Alina had an ectopic pregnancy before we had Alethea. It was early on. We were unaware of the pregnancy at the time until it became a very dangerous, very life-threatening situation in our life. It resulted in emergency surgery on a Sunday morning. That was the scariest day of my life. You don't get it. Less than a year later, we were at the same hospital. Communication. It was on Monday, so it was December. And with Alethea, everything went according to. She was our first. First we got to take home. We were just super careful with everything. You know, like you are with your first kid. And then second one, too. We went to the fire department, had them install the car seat, and, you know, did all those things. And Alina's family came up, and they were waiting at the house. And it's just a beautiful memory. And that's how you want it to go when you're expecting a child. Want it all planned out, and stress-free, and no curveballs. And Desmond was a little different. Desmond was born 3 minutes after we pulled into the Augusta Health parking lot. 3 minutes. They did not even know our names. Okay, we got out. The car was still running. The door was open in the emergency lane. And after Desmond was born, they're like, "Ah, we should probably just go ahead and move your car." The nurse came in and she caught Desmond with one glove on. Nothing about Desmond's delivery went according to plan. Nothing, except for the fact that we left the hospital with the baby. That was it. It was a very different memory than Alethea. You know, sometimes God allows things in our lives that catch us by surprise. He does, doesn't he? He allows those things into our lives that were not according to plan, that we were not expected. I've personally really been enjoying this series on Job, on Where is God? And Job was a godly, righteous man who really just unexpectedly lost everything. And just kind of going through that journey of what was going on in his heart and his mind. You know, we love to talk with each other about the good news. We do. We love to share those great memories. And we talk about the blessings and the miracles and tell others about all the times that God showed up right on time in an impossible situation, got completely turned around. We love to hear about the miraculous healings and the dire needs that are unexpectedly met. But for some odd reason, and I can't even give you a reason, I can't explain it, but we have developed and perhaps maybe even propagated the idea that it is somehow inherently wrong to talk about the times when things did not go as well as we had hoped. almost as if that implies that God dropped the ball. You know? There is something to be said about looking on the bright side. Don't misunderstand me, but I think our kids need to know that sometimes things aren't going to go the way you hope. Even if you are a righteous person, and even if you do call out to God, sometimes they don't go according to plan. Now, you may find this a little bit of an uncomfortable question, but I am going to ask you to be honest. How many of you have ever been in a situation where you wanted, you prayed for, and perhaps even expected God to show up and change the situation, but He didn't? I would say a lot of us. I could name some that I think a lot of you could relate to. Ms. Darlene Chapman. I remember praying with him. Tom Payman. That one surprised us. Just recently. Whether it's a wayward child or, a new church building, or someone you desperately wanted to be saved. There have been people and situations that I've prayed over, I mean, fervently prayed over, and I truly had faith that God was going to do something, and from my perspective, things just didn't go the way I wanted. But the truth of the matter is that does not mean that God failed. That does not mean that He's not still good, and He's allowed to set Him up. He's God. And we need to internalize accept that truth. God is allowed to say no. He's given us so many examples of this. So many examples of this. But in order to see them, we have to recognize that we get to read God's word from with his perspective included. It's the whole story. Beginning to end, the outcome, everyone that it affects. But we weren't the ones living through it. This time of year, we talk a lot about another pregnancy, don't we? As though it was all ordained from the dawn of creation, nothing about it seemed to be going according to any sort of plan. And I think, at least for me, I've gotten so used to hearing the story of Christmas that all I do is focus on God's perspective of the story instead of maybe someone who is living through it. I want to read you in Luke chapter number 1, if you'll turn there for me. And Pastor, I don't think I'm going to be going through something that's going to be redundant with what you're going through. But Luke chapter 1 and verse 26, we'll start right there and we'll read a few verses here. Then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. Verse number 26, Luke chapter 1, says, "In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin, espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored." Look at that line, that next line. "The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among them." And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus." Can we pray once more this evening? Father God in heaven, Lord, I pray that you just speak to us. Lord, we need to hear from you again. And I pray that tonight, as we examine the truth of your word, will give us a little bit of a fresh and renewed perspective of this incredible act of love, this tremendous miracle that is our salvation. Lord, thank you for yourself. forgive me of anything that stands between me and forgiveness. And speak through His name in Jesus' name. Amen. The first thing I want us to look at tonight is, number one, a scandalous pregnancy. A scandalous pregnancy. Because God could have ordained to come down to this earth to rescue us in any way, shape, or form He chose. And if I were the one writing the story, I don't know that this would have been in my top 10. But this is what God chose to do. I'm going to read you this in Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. It says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When His mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together," it's very explicit, "she was found a child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away." My goodness. Mary and Joseph, young couple, in love, espoused. They're going to be united. They're essentially engaged to be married. And now, Mary's pregnant. And Joseph knows it's not this. Imagine the torrent of emotions going through Mary's heart at that point. When she gets that news. And now it's like, how am I going to tell Joseph? What am I going to say to him? Again, she doesn't have all the pieces. She doesn't know where God's going to send an angel. She doesn't know what's going to happen. How do I tell Joseph? What am I going to say to my parents? I mean, it's a little tricky to walk up to somebody and say, "Hey, an angel told me." What kind of reaction are you going to get to that one? I mean, I just imagine she's wondering, are my friends going to believe this story? And you just can't help but wonder, you know, she's sitting there, why doesn't God just tell everyone what's happening? Why send an angel to me? Why is this message just coming to me? Why does the baby have to come this way? Why couldn't I become pregnant after I got married to Jesus? But no. And just imagine the public embarrassment that she had to endure. Imagine the disbelief that she was faced with. The unjust shame that would have been cast upon this young couple. Guys, but listen, I get it. We know the story. We've read it. We sing about it. But put yourself in their place. Consider the uncertainty when the story has yet to be written. It wasn't an easy situation. And I can imagine Mary and Joseph were sitting there saying, "Where is God? Where is God? Why is He doing things like this?" Not only was it a scandalous pregnancy, but I want you to see number two tonight. A stressful path. Okay, God, we're just going to trust You. You said this was going to happen. You're going to do this. It's going to be a little bit awkward. We're probably going to endure some shame. People are not going to believe us, but we can do this. Okay? The family's going to be happy about a baby regardless. Luke chapter 2, verse 1. "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus," in those days, "that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, under the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child." Did you catch that? Great with child. He's he's giving us a very accurate description. When you're expecting a child, there's nothing more helpful than unanticipated expenses, right? I mean, that's what you want. That's what you pray for. Baby on the way. Oh, so the governor's going to ask for more money. Let's go do this. That's what we want to do. Oh, and by the way, you have to pay it in person in the town that you were born in. Okay? So, no trains, no buses, no cars. They took a 70 to 90 mile hike while Mary was, let's say, very pregnant. Okay? We already know that she gets this news, and then she immediately goes and stays with Elizabeth for 3 months before she journeys back home, and that all happens before this journey took place. We've got a map I'd like for you to see. Is that back there? There you go. That'll just kind of give you the layout. All right. So there's Nazareth up there. They had to journey down here to Bethlehem, and this just to kind of help you with a little bit of frame of mind. Imagine if you were to leave tonight and walk to Roanoke. That would be the equivalent of walking from Nazareth to Bethlehem. Okay? So this wasn't just a stroll down to the sheets from the church. This was a little bit further than that. I enjoy backpacking. I love it. Okay? I like going for long hikes and, carrying what you need so you can camp overnight. And when you're through hiking like a long trail, long period of time, most people plan for around 12 miles a day. Okay, that's sustainable. You can do 12 miles a day. That's a pretty good pace. 70 to 90 miles would have taken a little while. Did Mary ride a donkey? I don't know. I know that's what we always see in the little. In the photos and in the nativities, there's always the donkey there and everything. The Bible doesn't mention any sort of animal. I don't really know where that came from. I'm not saying that she didn't. That would have been a pretty popular mode of transportation. If my wife was pregnant, I would be very hesitant to ask her to walk 90 miles. But, I mean, even then, what, 20 miles a day? This would not have been a simple task. And it just makes you wonder what was going through Joseph's mind. So we get the news from the angel. The baby's coming. It's awkward, but we can get through this. And now, wait a minute. I've got to take my great with child wife on a journey 70 to 90 miles all the way to Bethlehem. What horrible timing. Why did Cyrenius have to give the decree right then? But why couldn't he just wait just a few months? Why do they have to be traveling while she's most likely 9 months pregnant? Why did they have to go in person? Why couldn't Joseph just call and pay with his credit card? Why does this have to be so complicated? What a stressful inconvenience when you are great with child. Where was God in all this? I mean, what was going through Mary and Joseph's mind? Why wasn't God paving the way for his son? Shouldn't this be easier? Luke 2:7, she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. They finally arrived after a long, tedious journey. You can just imagine the conversation that your wife would be having with you. I can't wait to put my feet up. I'm so done with this donkey. I just want a hot bath, and I want to lay down. And Joseph gets to the inn. I'm sorry, we don't have any space. This cave over there where we keep the animals. There's no place to stay. The promised Messiah isn't born. We with attending physicians. He's not in his home. He's not welcomed by family and friends. He's born most likely in a cave, a place for animals. How would you feel? You welcomed your baby into the world, just you and your spouse, and his first crib is a feeding trough. I wonder what Mary and Joseph were thinking. And we don't know. We don't know. We don't get all of that. We know that Mary pondered some things in her heart, but what they were. But you just put yourself in that situation. I think I would be asking, where's God? Why isn't God providing for us everything that we need? We're following His will. He chose us for this task. Why didn't God make sure we at least had a place to stay? Where's that angel now? Can we call him back down here and speak to the owner of this inn? What are we doing wrong? It's not supposed to be this way. I want you to see number three tonight, a sinister plot. A sinister plot. We've looked at the scandalous pregnancy. We've looked at the stressful path. But it gets better. Matthew 2:16, then Herod, when he had saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and in all the coast thereof from 2 years old and under, according to the time, which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Now, baby Jesus is a fugitive. The governor is executing children. This just went from really inconvenient to scary. Why is God allowing this thing? You know, it was called Herod's Massacre of the Innocents. That's what this act was called. We do not know how many were killed. There's all these different historical records, and some historians say it was 20 children. Some say it was 144,000 children. And there's all these guesses, theories in between. Most of them resting at about 14,000. Honestly, at this point, that's not the significant truth. The significant truth is that Jesus' life was being threatened and other people were losing their children on the internet. How would you feel? What if you were married? What if you were Joseph? And you were faced with everything that is happening, wondering, where is God? Why is He letting this happen? Surely, somehow, this plan has gone off the rails at some point. This can't be the way things were supposed to go. Do you ever feel like that? I want you to see, lastly tonight, not only the sinister plot, but a secure promise. A secure promise. You see, the Savior didn't come in the way that He was expected to come. When everyone was looking for a general, everyone was looking for this king, this warrior to ride in and rescue his people. They weren't looking for a helpless baby born in a cave. Then 33 years later, Mary was there, and she looked on at her son, the promised Savior of the world, the only righteous man, while he was falsely accused and publicly executed. How did Mary do it? How did she stay faithful? I don't know. Correct me if I'm wrong. I mean, Brother Harold, maybe you know. I don't know of anywhere in Scripture where we see Mary lose her faith in what God was doing. I'm not saying it didn't happen. I'm just saying it's not there. How did she do it? I want to share a quote with you. God did not give us what we wanted, or even what was expected. He gave us what we need. You know how Mary and Joseph got through this? They went back to God's original promise. They took him at his word. Can we go back to Luke chapter 1? I want you to see verse 28. From the very beginning of this, the angel, verse 28, Luke chapter 1, verse 28, the angel came in unto her and he said, "Hail, thou that art highly favored." Look what he says. "The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." Look at verse 31. "Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, shalt call his name Jesus." And what's that next verse say? "He shall be great." Regardless of what happened, them having to make that journey, wondering how are we going to get there, them getting there, nowhere to stay, he's going to be born in a cave. God is with me. And he's going to be great. "Shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David." They took him at his word. "And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." Mary and Joseph believed that. "Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? The angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she had also conceived a son in her old age. This is the sixth month with her when he was called barren. Why? For with God nothing shall be impossible." Their faith was in God's character, not in what was going on. Because if you look at what was going on around them, God was seemingly not there. How many of you have been in a situation like that? I have. Because when we look at the circumstances around us, we immediately think, this can't be the plan, God. This is not the way I would have. Don't we do that? Don't we reason that in our minds? But their faith was in God's care. They had faith in God's love. Therefore, they had an expected outcome. God didn't give them all the details. And God doesn't usually give us all the details either, does he? Instead, he told them what they needed to know right then. But he promised. He promised, "I'm going to be here. I'm telling you that now. Because the day is going to come where you're going to look around and you're not going to be this. But I'm giving you my promise. I'm going to be with you." Why? Because life can throw you curveballs. And usually does. There are going to be things that you and I don't understand. Things that you think you have to fix, but you can't. But we have to remember that there is just so, so much that we don't know. There is so much that we can't see. And there is only one, who knows everything about your situation. And he is the one sent his only son to die so that you die. And he's extended to us a secure promise. I want to read you a few verses here. They're not going to be on the screen, but you'll recognize them. You know what Hebrews 13:5 says? I will never leave you nor forsake you. Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Here's another one that I love to cling to. Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He's not done. He's still working. And he's going to finish his work. But church, I just want to encourage you one truth. And the word that God sent to Mary and Joseph through an angel has no more validity than the word that you hold in your hand. You can take it to the bank. If God said it, it's true. It exists. Can we bow with prayer? Father God in heaven, we just thank you so much for your word, for the secure promises that you have delivered to us. What a gift. God, I pray that you would help us to take these truths. They're so easy to do. We get so distracted with what's going on in our lives, with the uncertainty of the things around us, with those moments that it just seems like nothing's going according to plan. God, help us to remember that it was never supposed to be. Help us to remember the secure promises that you've given us. We may not know all the details. We may not understand. But God, we can rest assured that you will never leave us nor forsake us. Lord, I pray that you'd help us and strengthen our faith. Help us to live for you. And God, I pray that you would use us. I pray that we would be willing to be used for your glory and honor, even when it doesn't look like the way we think it should. Thank you so much for the truth of your word. God, throughout this holiday season, no doubt, we're going to be confronted with some trials and opportunities. May we be found faithful. I pray that you'd use us for your glory and honor so that we can point others and draw attention to the Savior of the world. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.